Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here in the presence of my brothers and sisters and in your presence. And Lord, help us to remember that you are here and remember what our message is. It's a message of hope and of love. And help us to love each other and show the world that what your love is like. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you that we have your word right here for us to look at and to read and to study. And help us to grow as we hear the words today. Be with Laura Lee as she speaks. Lord, just give her an extra measure of your spirit to speak to us from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's take a look at this passage of scripture. It's 1 Samuel 7. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. You may remember that the Ark of the Covenant got taken when the Israelites went into battle without consulting the Lord and decided to kind of use it as a, you know, rabbit's foot, good luck charm. And it didn't work out. The Ark was taken away by the Philistines. And they had it for a while, but it didn't work out so well for them. Kind of different curses happened. They got tumors, possibly hemorrhoids. Not good. Not good. Rats. They got the plague. And they got rid of it, they sent it back to Israel with an offering of gold tumors and gold rats. Wouldn't it be cool to have one of those now? I noticed they weren't looking for those in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Hey, what's this gold thing? I think it's a tumor. Anyway.
Not a tumor.
Anyway, that's the backstory, and they returned it, and it got at the Kiriath Jearim, but now Israel's kind of like, we don't know what to do with it. Because a bunch of Israelites looked into the ark, stupidly. I could have told them their faces would melt. Should have known that. A bunch of Israelites did that. Hey, one of them's in here. Oops, dead. 70 of them. At least 70 of them. And so now they're all gone. Like, where's God? Where's God in all this? And here's the story. From that day, the ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim. Did I just take a bunch of your message by going back?
That's actually, that really helps.
Okay, good. Thank you. Now you know what you're preaching on. Yeah. From that day, the ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim. A long time passed from the day. A long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherah, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there he also judged Israel. And he built there an altar to the Lord.
Thank you, Doug, for that. That was great. Cool. So
I think what we'll do to start is we're going to kind of, like Dan did, do a little recap of what's been happening. We'll look at the three big ideas we see here in this section, and then we'll do an end recap. But to start, you know, we've been looking at the life of Samuel, and it seems like this is a turning point in this narrative or in this story, because we've seen Israel go through a pattern of like sin, God saves them from their situation, and then they repent, and like they follow the judge that's leading them for a while, and then they'll have these periods where they have peace. But then it seems like as soon as that person, that leader or judge dies, they go right back to like serving idols or worshiping what the nations around them worship. So it seems like a really, really sad pattern. But this story follows a slightly different pattern. In this case, we've seen the ark, you know, the Israelites tried to use it kind of as a bulldog or a good luck charm to get their way in a military victory, and God wasn't going to have any of that. So, of course, they got taken into Philistine territory, and God brought it back because God was kind of showing them he was in charge. And so then here we are, the ark has come back, and Israel's kind of at a loss. They're like, wow, we kind of blew it, and they didn't know quite what to do, kind of like Dan said. So there, we're going to see some themes that are going to sound pretty familiar. If you remember what Beth was talking about, some of you kids might remember her talking about, you know, when your parents ask you to do something, doing it right away the first time. Do you remember that? Yeah, so we're going to hear something like that. So make sure to listen, but probably the adults should listen too, right? They might need to hear it too. So, yeah, is that cool? All right, so the three things we're going to look at, and the kids have these in their notebooks, thank you, Lori, is surrendering our lives to God. When we're in charge, we're living in opposition to God. So just remember, surrendering your life to God, obedience to God, which involves opening our lives to the suggestions of others in our loving community, because God speaks to us through others, and then remembering who brings victory and transformation in our lives. So those are our three main things, okay? And we'll see those through the scriptures. And it's not really a tidy acronym, SOAR, I don't know. You make what you want of it, but Beth is better at those, so I'll leave those to her. So we'll just start with this first section. First off, what happens is all of the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Another way to say this is they turn their hearts toward God. So that's kind of this first section. They're turning their hearts toward God. And I kind of want to read this section here. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth and served him only. This is pretty great. You know, they realized they'd blown it, and they didn't know what to do, and so I'm going to share a bit of my experience with AA with you guys, but usually in AA you have a sponsor and you work the steps. So Samuel's actually pretty awesome here. He leads them through some steps. They realize they can't do it. They don't know what to do. And then he helps them to come to believe that God could restore their lives to sanity if they will surrender their lives and their actions to God. And they do it. Here it is, kids. These people hear what Samuel says, and then they obey it. They do what he says. He says, put away these things, and they do. And they serve. He says, serve God only, and they do. So they follow his suggestions. Although it's a little bit weird how they follow his suggestions, so we're going to read on and see what's kind of weird. So then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged all the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. So here they are. you know, they are turning their hearts towards God, and they're afraid, and they have reason to be afraid. See, in that time, gathering for worship wouldn't indicate that we were going to go out to war, like we don't usually do that on Sundays. But there, in this time, when people gathered for a religious observance, usually it preceded like going out to battle. So the Philistines were like, this is a good time, they're gathering, we'll just attack them, kind of cut them off at the pass. So it made sense in their time. But obviously the Israelites are going to be afraid. The last time they engaged them, it didn't go as well. And so they're afraid, and they ask Samuel, they say, you know we can't do this. Obviously, you can help us know how to serve God. And they cry out, my favorite prayer with this last part, please help. It's that prayer, I can't, you can, please help. So they're asking God for help. And they do, and Samuel offers a sacrifice, which of course Israel was supposed to provide sacrifices for their sin and repentance to God. But it's not exactly how he prescribed or set up the worship when he gave instructions to Israel on how to worship God. It's just a little weird. They like pour out some water and sacrifice this whole lamb, and it's just not exact. They didn't quite get it right. But their hearts were in the right place, it seems like. And the neat thing is that God honors it. He sees that their hearts are turned towards God. And so he answers Samuel. And so then we'll read this next section. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion. And they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. And then we'll just finish up this section. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Beth, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he judged Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. So the Israels are gathered together, the Philistines are coming to attack him, and God brings them victory. It's obviously God that brings them victory, and it's really interesting too, that you remember when the ark was captured by the Philistines and it kind of went from town to town because the Israelites were like, we don't want it. We don't want like the mice and the tumors. It went to those cities that were recaptured. So God was being very clear that God was the active agent. God had a plan and he was going to execute it. And he was very clear that it was him who brought the victory. And he let Israel participate, which is pretty cool because they turned their hearts to God. So these are good things, and I think it's really important to remember who does the work. It seems like Samuel figured that out. He set up this stone, this Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, basically, and he recognized God did this for us. He's trying to help Israel remember, because from what we saw before in their story, they have good forgetters, but we want, like, he's trying to help them have good rememberers from their story. And then also, after God brings them victory and maintains victory, and Israel is working to serve the Lord only, it seems like things are going well, and Samuel does this judging thing. He's not trying to, like, do the worship that God set out for them, like we talked about, and he's also not trying to even bring the ark to where the tabernacle is. So they're still kind of messy. It's still a little bit messy, but God honors their efforts, it seems like, and they're even at peace with the people among them. So things are going okay for the Israelites. But Samuel wants them to remember who was it that brought them the victory. So he builds this altar to the Lord there where in his hometown. And it's a reminder who did the work and who has provided us this victory over the Philistines. So there's the big story. And we're just going to kind of run through. Israel gets it. They can't. God can. Please help. They get that. But they also needed some action steps. I think sometimes we think, okay, I'll turn things over, but we aren't really sure what to do next. And I think that's a really good place for having helpers in our lives who can speak those things into our lives. Sometimes we need someone to show us what's off in our lives or areas where we're not really clear on what the next step is. And Israel was obedient. They didn't get it totally perfect, but they were obedient. Or there are things that we elevate to such a place in our lives that it gets in the way of our relationship with God and hearing God in our lives. There's things in our culture that are so thick around us, it's easy to get blinded by them, like money, possessions, relationships, or like the delusion that we're like supposed to be comfortable. These things kind of dull our senses to hearing God at times, and it's really important to stay aware of those. I mean, it's going to happen to the Israelites, the next bit, which we'll see. But in this story, we're really blessed, I think, to see that there's a really good relationship happening between Samuel and between Israel, because Samuel is their guide, and he does provide some good input and some suggestions, and God honors that. I know I've said that a few times, but I think it's a good thing. Sometimes things go better if you listen to the input of loving community in your life and follow it. And then victory happens, that victory over the Philistines. And like I said, Samuel seems to be aware of where that help came from. I think it's important to keep that fresh in mind. Like when we see God's been faithful in our lives, he's continued to work in our lives, and he will likely continue in his good character to keep working faithfully in our lives. So I think it's those things help me as reminders to continue walking faithfully. And I don't think we're so different from Israel with our short-term memory loss kind of problem. Things settle down for them, and they think, oh, I've got this. We've gotten some great victories. We've really done something for ourselves. And then they think they can kind of do whatever they want. But I think we need to remember who does the victory for us. And I don't just say that. I think it's one of those things where it really hits home for me. Because sometimes I actually get the sneaking suspicion that, wow, I've done a lot of hard work. I've seen really good things happen in my life. You know, I'm really doing something right. But I'm really, really grateful for this community because you know me well enough to keep me honest and remind me of who is at work in my life. And that it's because of surrendering my life to God that any of the good things in my life has happened. Like getting to interact with this awesome community. Thank you so much. Being able to be sober, that wouldn't happen without God having worked in my life and in all of yours. And being married to the best man ever is pretty great. So thank you, God. But none of that would be possible if God wasn't at work and wasn't the active agent. Like, not possible. So God definitely did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Absolutely. Have any of you ever had that experience? Yeah? Amen? All right. Well, it's really neat to see God having victory in our lives. And I think when we fully surrender, it's helpful. So let's remember those points. The kids have these on their pages, like you said. Surrender. Turn your life and your will over to God. He cares, and he wants, it's a good place to put your trust. And if you want to do that, but you don't know how, feel free to talk to me or someone after church, and we will talk with you and pray with you through that. And then obedience, live in open obedience. Let God work in your life and work in your life through your faith community. You guys have lots of good suggestions. Like Beth says, God loves you and have a wonderful plan for your life. And it's true, she does. But also, there's a lot of folks here who have a lot of wisdom and experience. And when they give you caring correction or encouragement or wise advice, it might be prudent to try it out, see how it goes. And see the miracles happen in your life. And miracles will happen. And I think something that in the program of AA, they say don't quit a minute before the miracle, or don't quit before the miracle happens. But there are miracles. Like, God does work, so don't quit. Sometimes you have to persist, but they do happen and they keep happening. And again, with the trajectory thing, like, Israel's heart was really turned toward God, and they were walking in that way. And I think another thing we say is progress, not perfection. We're not going to get it all right all the time, but putting our hearts towards God and our footsteps towards God is a good direction. And then remember who it is that does the saving work in your life, who brings you victory, and who does the transforming work in your life. So remember. And that, like I said, it gives you hope for being able to persist and do God's will in the future. Amazing song selection, by the way, worship team. Like, that was really good. It's just true. Like, God gives us the faith to take the next steps that are pretty scary and also really exciting. But this isn't just like Samuel. I feel like there's a broader story that we're looking at here. We have Israel, and they're looking for a leader. And Samuel's a leader, but he's not the leader they're looking for. At the end of his life, they're going to be like, hey, your sons aren't going to cut it. Like, we want a king. It's going to be the next couple verses. Sorry, I'm skipping to whoever's next. But they're going to ask for a king, and they're going to find out that king isn't what they need either. They need someone who was completely surrendered, that surrendered everything to God. They needed a leader who was wholly obedient to God and who provided the way to the one who fights the battles for us. Now, we are privileged to serve that Christ who shows us how to do all of these things. So let's follow that leader that they have longed for and pray with me. God, you know we can't. We can't figure it out and know exactly what to do with our lives. But we know you know. We know you can. And as a group, we ask you to please help us to know your will and have the power to carry it out. Amen. Thanks, guys.